Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, the leading podcast for residential service contractors, sponsored by Service Roundtable and hosted by David Heimer.
Hi, this is David Heimer. Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. Jason Fox is here with me today. Jason is the owner of Capital Heating and Cooling in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. Great company. They've created terrific growth in the last few years, and they've been keeping the growth going even now in this pandemic. So I'm really interested to hear about all that. And Jason Fox, welcome to Profiles in Prosperity.
Well, thanks for having me.
Let's go back. I always like to hear how people got into this industry. How did you get into the industry?
I graduated high school in 1994, and my parents' vision was that I should go to college. So I went to college, and the second semester, the second year, my dad gave me my tuition money and cash, of all things, to go pay my tuition bill. And on my way there, I thought, you know, I really don't like college that much, and I'd rather go to Mexico. So I took my tuition money and took my girlfriend to Mexico for a week and dropped out of college. So you can imagine he wasn't very pleased with that. So he said, well, you need to go get a job now. So that's what brought me to getting into the trades. And I started out as a helper for a plumbing and heating company. And then I went on to work for a union plumbing shop as a plumbing apprentice. And then I went through my entire apprenticeship. And towards the end there was probably about 2 or 3 months after 9/11 happened, I started to get into real estate. And I bought basically 42 apartments in 9 months. And plumbing work was getting slow. So they said, well, we're going to lay you off for a little bit and then you can come back when you're done. And I never went back. So here I was a plumber, and I was more of a landlord at that point. And I did all my own stuff. So I had a heating background as well. So I fixed a lot of my own equipment and did those things. And I did that for a few years and joined forces with another person. And we kind of grew that real estate empire. And then in 2007, we had been doing a lot of rehabilitation work on commercial buildings and residential stuff that we owned. And I formed a company called Capital Construction Services, LLC, which is the parent of now what's Capital Heating and Cooling. Up until that point before, I always hired out heating companies and things like that. We were more of like a general contracting thing and started doing work for other people and stuff like that. And I ended up hiring an installer to come work for me because we had quite a bit of work going on with the heating stuff. And at that time, I still was doing all of our service and things, and that business continued to grow, and we were doing general contracting, heating work, all kinds of stuff like that. And in 2010, I just started to get really kind of burned out with that business, and I still had a few hundred rental units with my business partner. We didn't see eye to eye, so we decided to split up in 2011, and we came to the agreement that I would take the Capital Construction Services, which was the general contracting company that did these different things, and he would take the real estate, and we would move on. So in 2011, it was myself. It was Lisa, who's my head bookkeeper, who still works for me. And I had 3 employees. And I said, you know what? I really don't want to be a general contractor. I want to just do heating work, because every heating contractor ever hired before I had this business was horrible. And I think our competition isn't that great. And I think we could do it better. So in 2011, we stopped doing general contracting work by the midpoint of 2012 and just focused on heating work. And then by what is now what current day, so by 2020, we're 63 people and about $12 million in sales. And half of our business is commercial HVAC work. The other half is residential. And we haven't done any general contracting work since.
That is one heck of a story. You know, I've asked a lot of people how they got into our industry. Took my tuition money and my girlfriend to Mexico is probably the best story I've heard yet. So you win the prize. That one is great.
Well, you know, I was happy, but my parents weren't very happy about that decision.
I just admire the confidence of it all. It'll all work out. But before I figure that part out, I'm going to go to Mexico. So remind me just one more time about the date when you decided to move all your resources into heating and air conditioning.
2011. So that would have been like the fall, probably September of 2011 is when I made that decision. So I just finished the breakup of the businesses between my former business partner and myself. And I'd say about half of our business was general contracting and half was heating at that point. And I'm like, I want to do one thing and just do it better than anybody else. And the general contracting wasn't kind of the appeal to me. I wanted to be working directly with homeowners or just more the end user of the projects. I felt it was a really unserved thing in our market of just a high quality customer focused company.
And you guys were 3 people then, and you're 63 people now?
Well, it was 5 of us then. So it was myself, my accountant who works part-time back then, and then I had 2 installers and a service technician.
Fantastic growth. What else could you tell us about Capital Heating and Cooling now?
We've always had kind of a fast-growing company. Sometimes we've had more growth than profits. You know, we've had some lean years where we weren't the smartest about it. But, you know, we've really focused on two different sides of the business. One is our residential side. We're very customer focused and more of a high-end type install and things like that. Really focused on indoor air quality and the components that go along with that. And then the other half of our business is really a commercial kind of design build contracting. So we're really about 50-50 with everything we do. And that mixture has worked well for us because, you know, as one part of the business is slow, the other one typically will be busier. You know, it kind of helps us weather some storms. The other thing it does is when we get into peak season, because we have all these commercial installers, we're able to a lot of times move them over to the residential side to get some additional jobs and things done. So it's really been a great mixture for us on things. One of the other big successes we've had here is our call center. And it took us about 2 years to really get the call center figured out and developed, but we don't really have like our people answering the phones. It's just a general CSR person. We see them as inside salespeople or account executives that kind of have a groups of customers that they work with and trying to help them offer them the different services that we have and kind of be that person for them to follow up on quotes and things like that. So our first couple of tries at this were kind of a failure. You know, we didn't hire the right people. We didn't have the right environment. And then a little over a year ago, we got a guy that had been doing call centers for a long time. We brought him in and we said, here's the space that we want to put you guys in. Tell us what it needs to look like. We're like, we don't care if you want clowns juggling and techno music blaring or whatever it is. You tell us what it needs to look like, but here's what we're trying to do. We want to develop this call center that can not only just take care of our customers with really good customer experience, but also generate an income off of it. So he came in and we remodeled it and we put up a big whiteboard. He's like, you got to have people have goals every day so they have a place to go and keep track of their calls. And we came up with structures on how we would pay them and things like that. So essentially what we came up with is these group of people, they make $13 an hour and then they make commissions on their sales. And basically they're paid a commission on anything they sell to the customer on the phone. So like all of our indoor air quality products, our duct cleaning, water heaters, they follow up on quotes. So like quotes that the service technicians left or certain quotes that our salespeople have left, they can close those. They get a percentage of payment on those as well. And then we pay them for booking residential sales appointments. So it's a tiered structure where they get so much to book the initial appointment and then they get additional money if the appointment sells because we want them to make sure that they're setting that expectation, you know, getting both homeowners there and giving them that level of customer service and get everything set up. So the first year we did it, we hoped that after 12 months, we could make $1 million in sales out of this group. And they actually did it in 9 months, and that was with 5 brand new people learning our business, learning a new language, who had been on the phone before, but actually never sold anything in HVAC space before. And they took our maintenance plan base, which we've always struggled with selling maintenance plans. We started that year with about 300, and I think we ended with over 700. So they more than doubled our maintenance plan base there as well. So we learned a lot, and we also learned as this year we started a little bit different with them. So we actually sat down and said, okay, well, you kind of know what you've been able to sell to this point and things like that. How do we help you get to where you want to go? So we actually sat down and came up with their kind of goals, and not only in life, but like income goals, and we tied them to their life goals. And then we sat down and said, okay, well, here's the activities you need to do. And we broke it all the way down to every time they pick up the phone, how much money do they need to end the phone call with? How many phone calls they need to make a day? And every day they can walk out and know that they're on track to make what they want to make. Now, most of the people that worked our phone system last year, the people that were the most successful, were on track to make about $65,000 a year. And some of the more beginner, lower tier were on track to make about $55,000. So that was pretty good generating of income off of only making $13 an hour.
So how many people do you have in that group now?
So we have 4 people and then their manager, Drew. So basically, our call center is open every day from 6:30 in the morning till 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, and then from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. Now, from 6:30 in the morning until 9 o'clock when the first person comes into the call center, those calls are handled by our installation coordinators that are here early, getting the day set up. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, then the call center takes over. So they handle all of our incoming calls, 100% of those. They handle all of our incoming, you know, form submissions and marketed leads, all of our leads from the Home Depot program. And then they essentially work those leads. So they create dispatches and things like that for service department. They create all the dispatches and everything for the residential sales team to go out, and then they do their stuff. But the cool thing about it is some people call in for a residential appointment and they'll already have them buying a duct cleaning before we even go to the house to look at their equipment to do it. So A lot of our service calls that come in, if they're not an existing customer, those people are signed up on maintenance plans right from day one, even before we get out to the house. So it's been a really successful thing, and tying this now into kind of the next step of an account executive role, because that's kind of what we're seeing them as this year. So they're getting groups of customers and they're touching base with their customer, and just seeing how we're doing as far as, are we keeping our end of the bargain with our quality and our professionalism when the technicians are coming to the house. And then also just kind of letting them know about the products and services we offer besides the furnace we put in or the duct cleaning we did or maybe the IAQ stuff. So it's nothing for some of these people in the inside sales team to generate $6,000-$8,000 in revenue per person per day. Or my weekend guy, who I have one guy that works Saturday and Sunday. It's pretty typical that $6,000-$7,000 in deals he'll generate himself on the weekend. And then also all those leads that came in over the weekend are being called in real time, right? So he's setting all the next week's appointments up because we're here and we're doing business, right? So we don't wait till Monday and then try and call these leads that came in over the weekend. And we try to execute against them right away.
That's very innovative. Do you know anybody else in our industry that's doing anything like that?
Like the piece for being open 7 days a week, I kind of got that from Steve Miles because I always had a lot of respect for him and what he's done with his business and how he structured his thing. So I kind of, once I heard that, I kind of started to follow a similar footprint with what we do. So we offer service 7 days a week and we offer duct cleaning 7 days a week. We only do install 6 days a week currently and installation appointments 6 days a week. But I don't know anyone that's gotten this far with the phone room. I'm assuming there's got to be someone out there because I don't think I'm the smartest bear out there. But I've seen a lot of people to have a lot more success setting up things with that, but not actually in this manner.
That's very innovative. You know, I talked to a lot of contractors. I don't know anybody else that is doing it the way you're doing it. So way to go. That's awesome. Tell me a little bit about the training for these guys. So you brought them in. They didn't have any experience in the industry. Talk to me a little bit about the training you did initially. And then could you talk to me a little bit about the ongoing training that you do with these guys?
Yeah. So the initial thing is, you know, you have to hire the right person to start with, right? So you need somebody that's really good on the phone, somebody that can make between 50 and 100 phone calls a day without any problem, someone that's okay if they get hung up on or hear the word no, right? So that took the initial mentality. And then also someone that can make a friend on the phone relatively easy with very little information. So everyone that works for us was in phone sales before this, as far as like typically for your cell phone companies or like your cable companies and things like that. And they were your topper performers in those industries. So when we come in, we teach them a new language, right? So we start simple with, look, we just want you to call this list of customers. These are people that have done business with us before, don't have a maintenance plan and need a tune-up done because they haven't had one by us in the last 6 months, right? So we give them this list and they just get comfortable working that list and they get real excited because they start closing these tune-ups and talking to all these customers. And then once they get comfortable with that, we start to add in, okay, well, here's what duct cleaning is about. So here's how our duct cleaning works and here's why we're different about duct cleaning than everybody else. And we show them all the parts and pieces. We send them on a duct cleaning ride along. If they have a house, we go do the duct cleaning at their house. They can understand like the whole process and why we're different. Then we have them call our competitors and talk to them about getting quotes on duct cleaning for the house so they can see how other people are doing it. And then we kind of turn them loose on it. And we, with our duct cleaning, we kind of have some different tiers, and the higher they sell the duct cleaning at the higher tier, the more money they make on it. So there's like a base price and then there's incentives for other services and things they can add on. And then once they get comfortable with that, we start to add in residential appointments, how to set a proper residential appointment. We go through the steps of what information we need, how to talk to the customer and how to get the relevant information, what makes a good setting appointment, what makes a bad one. And then we just continue to add pieces on. So then once they get comfortable with that, we'll add in, here's some IAQ accessories, and we go through them one by one. So at our facility here, we have a 3,500 square foot training lab that has every indoor air quality product that we sell installed and operational, has all the Nest products that we sell and install operational, has, I think there's like 6 or 8 full systems installed that are full like split systems, some individual furnaces. We have commercial rooftops in there. We have everything and it's all fully functioning and works. So we take them out there and we show them how the product works, how it's installed, what it looks like. And then some of our other people that are really good will actually give them products to put in their house. We'll come and install them too so they can actually experience them. We find it's a lot easier for them to talk about once they kind of have one and they can play with it and see it.
Yeah.
So that's how we kind of build their thing, and we kind of do it in a phased approach because you want to give them too much at once because then they don't know where to go. And basically we give them the lowest hanging fruit first, and we keep adding to it, to the more expensive things and things like that. And then we teach them about water heaters, how they convert a fellow water heater and things like that. And as time goes on, they get there. The big thing is you know, they have to hunt for business every day, right? So you have a lot of leads that come in. We have to work on those, but we have to also outbound cold call every day to our existing base, because if you are not developing that pipeline of future activity, you're essentially not going to have business down the road. If I don't hunt today for new business, it won't affect me tomorrow. It's going to affect me 60 days from now when I don't have those deals in the pipeline or those contacts to follow up with.
Exactly.
So just have them kind of keep building that. And so what we do for an ongoing is we just have goal setting with them, right? So we have a monthly goal that they're trying to hit, which breaks down into a weekly goal, which breaks down into a daily goal, which breaks down into an hourly goal, which breaks down into how many phone calls they need to make this hour and how much, you know, dollars do they have to have. And then we work with them on those. And then we, you know, do different training, coaching and stuff like that. We meet once a week as a group and we go through and listen to a good call, a bad call, and just talk about different things that are working or not working and where their struggles are, and, you know, make sure their mind is right.
So you said that you hired a guy that had experience with call centers and you worked with him. Is that guy still with you now?
Yep. So his name's Drew, and he's basically all the people that we've hired after him are actually all people that used to work with him at other places.
Okay.
So he basically showed them how they can come here and make more money. And so he's still with her, and he basically does a lot of the documentation of their processes and kind of helps them along, or he'll coach them as they're doing, like, hey, offer the maintenance plan on that call. Like, he'll listen as they're talking, or do this, you know, he'll throw different things out there to help them get over the hump.
Yeah.
So one of the big things for the groups, they operate as a team, right? So they all kind of work together because they have a daily goal that they try to hit, so, which ladders up to obviously their monthly goal. And then Drew is bonused on different tiers of business that his team develops. So they have this thing, it's called Light the Rooster, right? So it's kind of the quirkiest thing ever, but we have a little rooster and it's a lamp, and it's got this little tiny bulb. And if they hit their goal for the day, they get to light the rooster, right? So all day long, they want to try and light the rooster, because if they hit their goal, they get to light the rooster and they celebrate and they keep on going.
So is there like a group goal then? So if lighting the rooster means that the team hit their team goal, is that right?
Yep. So they have their individual goal. So their individual goal is different based on everyone, based on what their skill level is and also what they're trying to earn, right? So they have their own individual goal, and then they have the team goal, right? So one person could carry the whole team and hit the goal, or they have their own. So they're kind of competing a little bit, but then they're also got a group thing that they're trying to hit every day. So when they hit that, they get to light the rooster.
This has been a big part of your growth, but what I heard is that you guys are continuing to grow. I mean, we're in the middle of the pandemic, but apparently you guys are still growing. Are you guys doing anything different in this period, or is it just executing the plan pretty much as before?
You know, it's executing the plan. I mean, the pandemic definitely had some ruffles to our plan. We ended the first quarter up about 20% over last year. That was more on our commercial side, though. Our residential was kind of flat. Our profits slipped a little bit on that 20%, so it wasn't as good as I like. But what we're seeing is we developed a program called Capital Cares, and we were fortunate enough to get the Paycheck Protection Program there. So we said, well, how can we return that to some of the customers? And we said, well, essentially we have free labor now for the next 8 weeks, so let's give them an instant rebate. So we basically gave $1,500 off all of our full systems right off the top. So it was just an instant discount off the top or whatever it was. Plus we offered no payments, no interest financing for the first year, and then it would turn into a 10-year term loan after that. And that's definitely brought us a lot more customers and success with it. That's kind of a way we're trying to give back a little bit. You know, we have different charities and things we work with throughout the year. You know, Joseph Grohl Foundation and Make-A-Wish Foundation and some other local ones that we do. But this is kind of like trying to give it back to the people around us and try and help other people out to do it. And it's been pretty fruitful. You know, we had the first probably week and a half of April, it was a little scary there because residentially we had no business going on. Commercially it was still running pretty strong, but now we've seen a big turnaround since then with that. And I'm hoping still going to hit our goal yet this month. So we got about 10 days left and we're on track to pull it out. And this is kind of typically for us to be up in Wisconsin here, it's typically a shoulder month anyway. So you never have real big hopes, but if we can hit a goal in the pandemic with all that, I think it's going to be a pretty big success.
No kidding. Well, thank you so much for taking this time to talk with me. This is a fascinating story. I got to come up and visit you guys sometime once I'm allowed to travel again.
Well, we'd be happy to have you. We always encourage visitors, and you know, I always enjoy visiting other places and other companies. And thank you so much for what you guys do with Surface Station Alliance and bringing this group of contractors together, because there isn't a day that doesn't go by that I don't learn something from the Alliance. I wish I could give back more, because I feel like I don't give back enough. But if anyone's wanting information, feel free to email me or give me a call. I'd be happy to share anything I have.
Well, thank you so much, and I look forward to talking with you again in the future.
All right, thank you.
We're always looking for good ideas and interviews for our podcast. If you have an idea, or maybe you think you should be interviewed, just shoot an email to profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. That's profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. If you think what we're doing has any value, it would be very helpful if you would give us a great rating on iTunes. Thanks for your support. Hope to see you again soon. Bye.